Take your Bible tonight, turn with me to the book of Acts tonight. You know, it amazes me how as we look back in history, from Adam to today, how we all have the same nature. We all have the same nature. We all go the same way, astray from God. It also amazes me how God in His love and His mercy and His grace is always trying to bring man to himself. Always has been, always will be. But yet man still wanders away from God. Wanders away from God. And we see through the pages of the Bible and the Old Testament, right on through the New Testament, how literally history does repeat itself. It really does. People in the days of Noah had the same heart that we have today. That's a sinful heart, a wicked heart. One that does not love God, one that does not seek after God, but that are sinners. We all are that way. We're nature that way. But I'm glad tonight to know that God, in His mercy again and grace, is always trying to reach out to mankind. And He does that, people, through the church that He's raised up. So tonight I want to speak in the book of Acts, chapter number 5, actually, chapter 1 through 5, of course, we're not going to cover it all. But I want to speak tonight concerning the church of Jesus Christ. We see in Acts chapter number 5, I want to read a couple of verses, then we'll have prayer. Look at verse number 27. Acts chapter 27. Now, let me say the book of Acts literally bridges the gap between the Gospels and the Epistles. The book of Acts presents the history and also the development of the church. We start from the ascension of Christ, right on to the imprisonment of Paul, and right on through his ministry there in Rome and throughout the epistles. But we find here in the book of Acts, chapter number 5, a very interesting statement. And I trust tonight as we convey upon this thought that it might challenge us as the church. Let's look what the church used to be when it began. Here in the first book of Acts. And where is the church today? What's happened to the church? What's the difference tonight in the church of today and the church which Jesus Christ established here in the book of Acts? Notice in chapter 5, look at verse number 27. Acts 5 and verse 27. And when they have brought them, that is the authorities, brought them, they set them before, that is, apostles, authorities brought the apostles, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? Does that sound familiar today? Sounds familiar. Did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Notice, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again today for this beautiful day. We thank you for the privilege we've had to be in your house. Lord, the fellowship we've had, your word we've heard, and God, how the word of God has spoken to our hearts already this morning. We thank you for that. Lord, thank you for this group being back here tonight. And Lord, once again now, we open your word. And I pray, dear God, as we read these verses tonight, and Lord, we look into your word, this portion, Lord, that you might challenge us tonight as your church, dear God. Lord, we know that Jesus is coming soon, and we're looking forward to that. But Lord, let's not quit before you come. Lord, give us that desire, give us that ambition, Lord, and that zeal and that drive, dear God, to do what you've asked us to do, Lord, until Jesus does come. Father, bless your people now together. May your word be what it needs to be to our hearts. May we have open hearts and open minds to your word tonight now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now notice it says here in this verse number 28, talking about, did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. That simply means your teaching. I thought about this. Wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be not saying, oh, I like the word nice. But wouldn't it be a nice compliment, maybe I should say, for the town councilors in Clayton to call Fellowship Baptist Church and ask to speak to the pastor. And the pastor answered the phone, and they would say, Pastor Ennis, your church has filled Clayton with your doctrine. Amen. Man, wouldn't that be nice? It would be wonderful to do that. But you know, these people here in Jerusalem, there was something about them that motivated them, something about them that drove them to do what they did. And I want us to look at this tonight. And my thought tonight is this, making a difference. Making a difference. The world needs to be different, doesn't it? It needs to be different. If the world's going to be different, I'm saying to myself and to you, Christians, we have to be different. We have to be different from what we are. We have to make a change. You know, we often think about the world needs to be changed. The world needs this, the world needs that, and it does. But let's look at ourselves. We need to change. There's something about us that we need to change. We need an awakening, folks. I believe sometimes we as Christians are sitting down asleep, knowing some things are happening in the world, and because things are happening in the world the way they are, we have no motivation, we have no desire, we have no heart to do our part and what we can do for the cause of Christ. Making a difference, making a difference. The church in Acts made a difference. They made a difference in their time that they were here. We notice, first of all, they were not a perfect people. There has never been but only one. That's Jesus Christ. The church of Acts was not a perfect people. We also know this thing, though, they had a perfect message. They have a perfect message. That is the gospel, the same message that you and I have today. We see also that they were very passionate or sincere about their faith. They were very sincere about their faith. And they lived according to the way they believed. They lived according to the way they believed, the church of Acts. They were excited about their worship. When they went to worship, they were excited. They were enthused. And again, they praised God continually. I'm afraid I myself do not praise God enough. I need to praise Him every day. Just to be able to get out of the bed, you know, and get up and have a job to go to and have friends and neighbors and all that. I need to praise Him. I'm afraid we don't praise Him enough, you see. Now, tonight I want to look at this church and see what made it different for them. What made it different for them than for us? The church here at Jerusalem. Now, take your Bibles, first of all, and turn back to chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. We'll go through a few verses tonight, looking at this thought, making a difference, making a difference. I would somehow that I could make a difference. I would somehow that we can make a difference. And by God's grace, we can. By God's grace, we can. There's always time. You know, it's not over till it's over. Amen? So we still have time to do something for God. We really do. But we see here, as we look at the church and see what made a difference for them. What was it that made a difference for them? In chapter 1, down verse number 4, we see, of course, that Jesus had been resurrected from the dead. He walked on this earth for 40 days. He was proven to be who He was, the Son of God. And we see in verse number 4, and being assembled together with them, that is Jesus with the apostles, notice, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the time or the seasons which the Father has put in His own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now see, we see here in these verses right here, they knew Christ's command. What was Christ's command to these early Christians? They were to go to Jerusalem. They were to wait and pray. Go to Jerusalem, wait and pray. For what? For power. For power. Now, again, this is 40 days from the day of resurrection. He appears to them. He gives them to command. Okay? And then we see after that, of course, he ascends back to heaven to be with the Father. And time is going on now. And as time goes on, we see what happens here. Again, Jesus gave them this command before he ascended back to heaven. He gave it to them as Christians. And he's also given it to us. He said, you shall receive power. That power comes from God. What is that power in the Christian's life? Tell me. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lived in them. The Holy Spirit lives in us. We have the same power they had. And it comes from God, you see. So we see they knew Christ's command here. Look at verse number 12. Verse number 12. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when they were come in, they went up into the upper room, which abode both names of the apostles, Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, Zealots, and Judas, the brother of James. Notice verse 14. These all continued with one accord in what? In prayer and supplications with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Here they are. Jesus gave them the command. You go to Jerusalem, you get up in the upper room, and you stay there and you pray till you receive power. Okay? And we find they did that. They went there and they literally obeyed the Lord Jesus Christ when they did that. Now notice over in chapter 2. Chapter 2 is 10 days later. From the day that Christ ascended back to heaven, from the day that Jesus gave the command, we have what we call Pentecost. Pentecost means what? It means 50. 50 days from the day Christ rose from the grave. Here we have him in chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. Someone said that's the first car mentioned in the Bible. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of what? Fire. And it sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard this speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? So we see here, here's an amazing thing that took place now. The Holy Spirit has empowered them. He's given them liberty here now to speak. They can, a multitude of people are speaking, and everybody's hearing in their own language. Everybody's hearing in their own language. So we see here, not only did Christ command them to go to Jerusalem and stay there and pray, but now they have done that, and God has answered their prayer, and they are filled with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. They have power. And that power doesn't mean literally strength. There's more involved in this power than that. It has to do with courage. It has to do with a lot of things. Confidence, insight, ability, authority. He gave them the authority to speak this word, to witness to people, you see. Just like we have the authority to give out the gospel to people in our neighborhood and where we go. They were filled with the Holy Ghost during that time. Now, go down to verse number 41 in chapter 2. Chapter number 2. Look at verse 41. After this had happened, after they had received power from the Holy Ghost to go and to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, in verse 41, the Bible says, Acts 2:41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, excuse me, and the same day there were added unto the church about 3,000 souls. My, what a beginning for a church. Amen? Pretty good sized church, wasn't it? We find here the church now is getting established, and notice in verse 42 through verse 47. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and all had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Notice, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. My, what a good start they've got now. 3,000 people saved. They're gladly receiving the Word of God. They're teaching the Word of God. They're one accord. They're one mind. Their goal is set to speak the Word of God that He's given them to speak, and to have other people come to know Christ as they know Christ. So they continued. In other words, they were involved in speaking the Word of God every day. Day by day, house to house, they were out continually doing this. I'm talking about making a difference, folks. Making a difference. These people were making a difference. Why? Because, first of all, they were obeying the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were obeying Him. And when they obeyed Him, they were receiving the blessings. They were receiving the blessings. People were being saved. 3,000 at one time, hundreds and thousands right on. You know, people got saved because they were simply obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. They had the power also, the source they needed to be able to speak the Word of God. So we see here now they continued in speaking, and notice what happened. Go back, turn over to chapter 4. Chapter 4, look at verse number 5. Chapter 4, verse number 5. The Bible says, and it came to pass. You know, I can't imagine, Pastor, these apostles now are so excited about what's going on. You know, the church is, you got 3,000 plus members in the church, you know. Everybody loves to hear the Word of God taught. Everybody's going out from house to house, wherever they can, and speaking the Word of Jesus Christ to people where they can. Everybody's excited about what's going on. You know, but notice what happens in chapter 4, verse number 5. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and the elders and scribes and Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, that is, apostles, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Notice Peter. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you all. Amen. My, what a testimony. You know, this is evidence right here, folks, what's taking place. Because of Jesus Christ, this man has been healed. You know, what can you say about that? They had their mouths were shut, literally, because they had proof of what they were doing was good. Notice here the threat of the authorities given to them. But you know, why do we see this? Not only in chapter 4 do we see this, but also we see the apostles were put in prison. They were put in prison three times in a period of less than 20 years because they were speaking in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody here tonight ever been put in jail because you've been talking about Jesus? Anybody anywhere? No, we haven't. Shame on us, amen? Shame on us, folks. Listen, these people were bold. They had the power of God upon them, and they were willing and desiring and wanting to speak about Jesus no matter where they went. But for some reason today, the world is silencing us as Christians. God help us, folks. God help us. Listen, Jesus Christ, that gave these apostles the command to go out and tell people about Jesus, He's done that to you, and He's done it to me. God gave them the power through the Holy Spirit, and He's given us the power through the Holy Spirit also to do the same thing. Now, what's our excuse? What's our reason? Why aren't we doing it? You see, they were making a difference in their world. Oh, I would to God that we as God's children would make a difference in this world. The only way we can do it, folks, is to get the gospel out. That's the only way it's going to happen. We can't sit around and hum and haw and complain about what the world's doing. We've got to get up and go out and do what we're supposed to do. Amen. And the only way we can do it is by the command that Jesus has given us and by the Holy Spirit that lives within us. We can do it, folks. We can do it. Nod your heads. We can do it if we'll get up and do it. But we've got to get up and go out there and do it. And we've got to set our priorities. things can't come and take the place of our going out and witnessing. We've got to go witness first. And if we have to go somewhere else, witness wherever you are. I mean, you don't have to come here and go out on Thursday night just to witness. I mean, you can witness at job, wherever you are. And may God help us and give us the prayer. The threat of the authorities could not frighten these men because they knew where their authority come from, their command come from, and their power come from. It come from the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, they went about doing what they knew they should do. Now, notice chapter 5 again. Turn over there and look at verse number 13. I thought it was chapter 4, I'm sorry. Chapter 5, did I read? Verse 13. It says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. They marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with who? Jesus. They marveled at these men. They knew these men were not well trained. They were not learned men. But they marveled at them because they knew they had been with Jesus. They had been with Jesus. That's an outstanding characteristic in the life of a Christian. That is a constant witness. Day after day, day after day, you can see the light of the Lord Jesus Christ in that person's life because they're not ashamed to talk about Jesus. Have you ever met somebody that wasn't ashamed to talk about Jesus? I have, my life, several times. These people are the happiest people in the world. They're lights wherever they go. They're happy. They're just enthused about life. They don't let life bring them down because they're talking about Jesus. You know, I want to challenge myself. I want to challenge you as Christians tonight. When we go out of this place tonight, let's talk about Jesus tomorrow, okay? No matter where we go, no matter what we do, let's talk about Him. That's what God wants us to do, is to tell people about Jesus Christ. That's our duty. That's our obligation, folks. And I'm afraid we're not doing it. I'm afraid we're not doing it. What has put a muffle over our mouth? What is it that's causing us not to want to do it? Are we afraid? What are we afraid of? What are we afraid of? If God be for you, who can be against you? Amen? If God's for us, and He is. Isn't God for us? He's for us. So who can be against us? Oh, may the Lord help us and raise us up and help us to make a difference. To make a difference, you know. You know, I know this church is making a difference throughout the world. I'm going to tell you something, folks. There's literally hundreds and thousands, hundreds of people in this country, this town right here, in Clayton, North Carolina, that need the Lord. They need the Lord. I want to challenge you to come forth and take a list we have and take this list and find somebody to go with you and go out and knock on doors. Every week, there's constantly flowing of different people in Clayton, North Carolina. And we need people to go out with us and knock on these doors and try to reach these areas for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's don't forget Jerusalem, okay? Let's don't forget where we live because there's people in these streets right here, over here, all around this church that probably have never heard about Jesus. They've never heard about Jesus, and God, we don't want their blood on our hands. I don't, do you? When I stand before God, because I didn't go out in Clayton, North Carolina and witness to somebody. They made a difference. This church made a difference because the authorities did not frighten them. They did not frighten them. You say, Brother Keith, what do you do when you go out and knock on a door and somebody slams the door in your face or somebody threatens you and tells you to leave? Well, you just leave. Amen? You just leave, you know? Don't let that stop you. Don't let that keep you from going because that's exactly what Satan wants to do. He wants you to stop. He don't want you to go. Who are we going to obey? We're going to obey God or we're going to obey the devil, you know? He's given us to command to go. Jesus has told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Folks, that includes Clayton. That includes Clayton, our Jerusalem. And we don't want to forget it, folks. How many people you reckon there are in this area right now? No doubt, probably 50,000 to 100,000 people in Clayton, here in Johnson County right now. And they need to be reached. They need to be reached. They're coming in from everywhere. They really are, by the groves, seem like. But nevertheless, these people at Jerusalem here, they did not allow the authorities to stop them. They kept on going because they knew that Jesus Christ gave them the command and God gave them the power to do it through the Holy Spirit that lives within them. Therefore, they were ready to do it. Now, let's notice in chapter 4, look at verse number 31. Chapter 4, verse 31. The Bible says this, and when they had prayed, that is, the apostles, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with what? Boldness. When they prayed, Pastor, that's the key. They prayed. Are we praying? Are we praying for boldness? Are we praying for God's direction when we go out to witness? They prayed. And when they did, we find God met with them. The place was shaken. This was an outward indication of God's presence with them when the place was shaken. They knew, hey, God is with us. Can you imagine we praying in this church and all of a sudden God shake this building? I wonder how effective, what much change would it make in our lives? Huh? I believe it makes some change. I really do. I really do. Pastor, I was thinking, you know, we're having a lot of tornadoes, tsunamis, and all kinds of things go around us that's happening in the world today. And I'm afraid we as Christians are looking at those things. You know, I wish the world would wake up. I wish the world would wake up. And God is saying to you and to me, Christian, wake up. Christian, wake up. Christian, wake up. You know, it's been a couple of times this year and last year. Here in this service, these services on Wednesday night, I know. We've had a man that's had a seizure. We've had to call the rescue squad. There's been two or three times in the last three or four years we've had to call the rescue squad. I thought about that. What is God trying to tell us? Huh? What is God trying to tell us, folks? Wake up, Christians. Wake up. Time's running out. Time's running out. God may call me home tonight. He may call you home tonight. If he does, we've done all we can do for Jesus. May the Lord help us and challenge us today. May we desire to make a difference. We need to make a difference, folks, in our church. We need to make a difference in our families. You know, we've got some good families here in this church. We've got some young people in this church that want to do something for God. We really do. We've got some all ages of people that want to do something for God. Let's get busy, folks. Let's get busy. Time's running out. Let's make a difference in this town, this town in which we live. I tell you, I would like for Clayton to know that there's a church here on the west side of Clayton that loves the Lord and is not ashamed to talk about him. Not ashamed to talk about him. Not ashamed to knock on the door and present the Lord Jesus Christ to them. May we, with God's help, make a difference. We see also in this verse 31, also that they were relying completely upon the Holy Spirit to enable them to do what they did. There's no way that we can go visiting out there on our own. It doesn't work. Only by the Holy Spirit's leading, direction, and giving us the power to say what we say can we accomplish anything for God. Now, I want you to notice something. Turn to chapter 5. Chapter 5. We see something taking place here. There's a problem in the church. There's an inside problem. There's an outside problem. Let's look at the inside problem first. A very familiar text, Acts chapter 5. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privately to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not in thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart, that thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God? And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these sayings. Now, this is within a church, folks, inside a church. A meeting is going on. And notice, and the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. Then Peter answered and said unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young man carried in, and went in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. Amen. What was going on inside the church? There was a problem. The people were being dishonest with God. They were being dishonest with God. What's going on outside the church? Great persecution is taking place outside the church. You see. And here we find here these men, these people here lied to God. They lied to God. And because of that, they died. God killed them. They took them out, and great fear came upon all the people. Making a difference. Making a difference is what I'm talking about, folks. Here's a serious matter which occurred here. What was the most important? Speaking the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, God's way of dealing here. How God dealt with. Why did God do this? Why did God kill these people anyway? Why did he do this? You know? In doing so, what did he do? He preserved the integrity of the church. He preserved the church. Number two, he stimulated genuine growth. When people get afraid of God, people will do something for God, but not until. Preached a message not too long ago about fearing God. See, God, we don't have the fear of God in us. We're not afraid of God. We think we got God by the tail doing what we want to do with him. But folks, listen, it don't work that way. We need to fear God. These people, when they saw this happening in that church, they were afraid. They took God at his word, and they moved and did what they wanted to do, what they should have done with God. It stimulated growth. They went out and began to talk to people about Jesus again. They got awake, you see. We see also fear on the part of the church, but also there was fear outside the church and what had happened inside the church. See, when people on the outside see what God's doing on the inside, it's going to awaken them, folks. It's going to awaken them also. And this is what happened here. Supernatural power was involved here. And we see what God did. Purity of life became very important to people. They recognized, hey, if I'm dishonest to God, God may kill me. Purity of life became very important at this time. There was great fear that came upon the whole church because of what had happened here at this time. The church here demonstrated the power of God in labor and also in context because of this thing that happened within the church. Making a difference, folks. That's what it's all about. Our lives as God's children, see. Now, notice something about this. They had, first of all, we see that they had faith to make a difference. You have to have faith to make a difference. They made a difference because of their faith. We see their faith. They were in one accord. The Bible says the people were amazed at the power of God, and they had faith in God because of what God was doing in their life. And so we see that faith made a difference. They had faith in their master. Look at verses 12 through 14 of chapter 5. Verse 12 says, "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them." We see here what took place is, we see they had faith in their master. They had faith in their master. Do we have faith in God tonight? Do we believe in God? Do we believe his word? Can we take God's word literally? Can we? We can. We need faith in God, our master. He's our master. Is he the master of your life? Is he the master of my life? We need to have faith in God. These people had faith in their God that they were serving, and they were obeying him. Therefore, they had faith in him. Also, we see they had faith in their message. In verses 11 through 16, we find that. Look at verse number 14. "And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow them. We see here that they had faith in their message. They believed their message enough, literally, to go to jail. They believed it enough to go to jail. We find in verse number 17 and 18, we find this takes place here. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is in the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. They believed God enough to go to jail. They literally did. They believed him enough to go to jail. They believed God says, told them to go out and talk about Jesus and do it through the power of the Spirit of God, and they did it. And they wound up in jail. They wound up in jail. They believed it enough to wait upon the Lord. Look at verse 19. But the angel of the Lord by might opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. That's faith, folks. That's faith. They believed, they took God by faith, and they waited upon the Lord to show up. The same thing happened to Peter and John in Acts chapter 16. They waited upon the Lord. They sang songs in the jail. God opened the jail. He shook the whole jail and let all of them out because of that. They believed it enough that they didn't give up. Look at verse 20 to 21. And when they heard, they entered into the temple. When they had heard, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came and they that were with him and called the council together and all the senate of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found was we shut with all safety and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man with them. Only God can do that, folks. Only God can do that. And he did it because they had faith in the master, their master, and they had faith in the message that they were presenting. Faith in the Word of God. We see also they had finances to make the difference. In Acts chapter 4, verse 32 to 37, we find they sold what they had. They were literally willing to give all they had to promote the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were willing. They shared all they had. What did they have? They had power. They had power because God gave it to them. They had power of unity. They were in one accord, in one mind, because they were all doing what God wanted them to do. They had power in love because they loved one another. They loved Jesus. You realize the more we love Jesus, the more we're going to love one another? But if we don't love Jesus the way we should love Jesus, we're not going to love one another the way we should. They loved one another. They had power. They had the power in the gospel. When they preached the word, when they presented the gospel, it had power in it. It had power in it. We also see they had power in prayer. We notice what happened when they prayed. God shook the place. God get them out of prison. There was power in prayer. If we are to make a difference, folks, what are we to do as God's children tonight? What are we to do? First of all, we're to have faith in our master. Who's our master? Tell me. Jesus Christ. We are to have faith in him. Do we have faith in him? Do we trust him? Do we believe he can do what he said he would do and could do? We should believe in him. Also, we should have faith in the message. What is our message, folks? The gospel. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. How long has it been since you, how long has it been since I sat down and talked to somebody, stood up and talked to somebody and presented the gospel to them? How long has it been? Oh my, may the Lord help us have faith in our master, have faith in the message that he's given to us. They had fire, they had faith, and they also had finances. That's how they made a difference. That's how they made a difference. Because of God was with them. J. Hudson Taylor, the great missionary in China, he said this, it is possible to work without prayer. It's a bad plan. But it can be done. But you cannot pray without working. You cannot pray without working. You can work without praying, but you can't pray without working. It won't happen. My, what did we see here? Jesus has given us the command to be a what? A witness. He's given us command. We have the power, the source, who is who? The Holy Spirit that indwells us. Fellowship Baptist Church members, brothers and sisters in Christ, let's ask God to help us to make a difference. Make a difference. These believers made a difference in the time they lived, in the world they lived in. And listen, it's not too late. It's not too late. You've heard the old saying, as long as there's breath, there's life. Amen? As long as there's opportunities to do what we ought to do. And I pray that God will enable us to make a difference in this world in which we live. Let's don't forget our Jerusalem. Okay? Let's don't forget our Jerusalem. Yes, we need to pray for our missionaries. We need to support missionaries. I'm for all that. I'm for the Ustream. I'm for all these things we're doing, the radio and all that. Well, let's don't forget our personal responsibility to go and to tell in our Jerusalem. Let's don't forget that. Because if we do, I don't think God's going to bless the other ministers either. If I can't be a witness here in this country, no matter where else I go, I can't be a witness because I'm not doing it here. I need to start at home. I need to start at home. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for these people, this church, Lord, that you started. Lord, as an example to us, Lord, that we ought to be busy making a difference, Lord, where we live. Lord, I pray somehow, Lord, the Holy Spirit of God would challenge us that we might search our hearts, God, and Lord, you might do a work in us, enabling us, dear God, to go forth and do what you called us to do, what you want us to do. Thank you, Lord, for our Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the message that we have, the gospel. God, I just pray, God, you would enable us, Lord, to bring honor to him, Lord, and be getting the good news out to people every day that we live. Father, thank you for our church. Thank you for these dear people. I pray, God, as we go forth this week, you go before us. Please lead us and guide us. Help us, dear God, to make a difference in our Jerusalem. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.